May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning is the gospel reading from John chapter 1. You may be seated. Dear saints, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There is perhaps no more concise, compact, yet beautiful confession of who Jesus is. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So important are these words historically to the church that we sing them every Sunday before we partake of the Lord's Supper. O Christ, thou Lamb of God who takest away the sin of the world. Behold, John says, look. Look there at that person, this Jesus of Nazareth, who appears to be just an ordinary man, but we know that he is so much more than that. He is the Lamb, which is to say, he is the sacrifice, but not just any lamb, not just any sacrifice, not a lamb raised by a herdsman, but the perfect, unblemished, spotless Lamb of God. This Lamb is from God. Indeed, this Lamb is God. And he comes for a purpose. He comes to take away the sin of the world. All of the sin of the entire world he would atone for. All of it, all at once, forever, gone. Your sin, my sin, the sin of every man, woman, and child that has ever lived or ever will, the Lamb of God takes away that sin. John continues to give some explanation, some background to why he is able to make this confession. He says, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. John and Jesus are related, familially, by blood, likely some kind of cousin. John was 6 months older than Jesus by birth, and yet he says of Jesus, he was before me. John recognizes that this Jesus is, in fact, the eternal Son of God. The one who is before all things, the one through whom all things were made. Jesus is greater than every prophet, even greater than this arguably the greatest of Old Testament prophets, John the Baptist, because every word that the prophets spoke was a word from Jesus, for he is the Word of God made flesh. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. John's purpose is clear. He is but the forerunner. He is but the herald. He himself is not the light, but he bears witness concerning the light that was coming into the world, Jesus of Nazareth. John's ministry is singular. He has but one purpose, to reveal to Israel that Jesus is their Messiah. John's disciples would leave him and follow Jesus. And this makes John glad, because that is, after all, the point. As John would say later of Jesus, he must increase, but I must decrease. John seeks not his own fame and glory, but brings glory to Christ alone. John revealed Jesus to Israel, and that is an appropriate message for the Epiphany season. For the season of Epiphany is the season of light, but more importantly, it is the season of revealing. Of revealing who Jesus is and the purpose for which he comes. John is baptizing in the wilderness in order to epiphany Jesus. But John's revealing work extends beyond Israel, for this Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away not only Israel's sin, but the sin of the whole world, the sin of the Gentiles, the sin of the nations. It is too light a thing that Jesus should be the Lord's servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. He is made as a light for the nations, that the Lord's salvation may reach to the ends of the earth, as we heard in our Old Testament reading this morning. The nation of Israel, they were to be a light to the nations. They were intended to draw people away from their idols and to the true God. Yet Israel failed. They failed to keep the Lord's commands. They failed in their mission purpose. So a new light came. And what Israel was unwilling or unable to do, Jesus did. And John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit." John bore witness. He told what happened. He told what he had seen. He baptized Jesus. He saw and heard the Trinity revealed at that baptism. And he is not silent about it. He talks about it. He bears witness. As John told his disciples, so he tells us that Jesus is the Messiah, so that like his disciples, we would follow Jesus. He tells us that we who have received the baptism of Jesus have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. As with Jesus, the Holy Spirit has descended upon you in your baptism, that you may bear the fruits of the Spirit and do the good works that the Spirit has for you to do. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. Jesus is the Lamb, and Jesus is the Son, God's beloved Son, as the Father proclaimed at his baptism. It is the Son who would do the will of his Father. The nation of Israel was a disobedient son, but Jesus is the obedient Son, willing even to die on a cross because that is his Father's will. For his sacrifice is the way of salvation for all humanity, humanity that has turned its back on the Father, has rebelled, has corrupted itself with idolatry and hate and greed and lust. For these, for us, the Son of God would sacrifice himself as the Lamb to make peace with the Father. Of these things, John bears witness. Like John, the church is not in business for herself. We do not exist to serve some earthly purpose, for some worldly glory. We are followers of Jesus. We are the new Israel. We are God's people. Like John, we point one another to Jesus. We encourage one another to be disciples of Jesus, to continue to follow him. The church exists to remind us what is true, that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The church exists to proclaim to you repeatedly that your sin is forgiven. And that is a truth we cannot hear too much. For that is a truth that is contrary to what the world tells us. It is contrary to what Satan whispers in our ear. It is contrary to what even our own restless minds struggle to grasp. Your sin is forgiven. Jesus, the Lamb, has taken it away. He continues to take it away. As you receive the absolution, as you eat and drink his body and blood from the altar, his body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. But it is too light a thing that we simply tell this to ourselves. It is too light a thing that we keep this truth among us only. The Church of Jesus is now a light to the nations. We are to confess, like John, to bear witness, to speak up, to be heralds, to tell all that we have seen and heard about the goodness of Christ, to tell others that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who takes away their sin. As John the Baptist preached in the wilderness of Israel, as St. Paul was called to preach to the saints at Corinth and to other places, so we are called to proclaim the full counsel of God to the people in this place and at this time. This testimony includes some things that the world would rather not hear, namely that all are sinners, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that all people need the Lamb of God to take away their sin. There is no other way. Like John, we are out in the wilderness of this world doing what he did, teaching and baptizing and pointing others to Jesus. For we worship the Lamb who sits now on the throne, sits at the right hand of his Father, the Lamb who reigns over all things, the Lamb who intercedes for us with the Father, the Lamb whose blood covers all our sin. Thanks be to God that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.